Good evening and welcome to worship. It's good to see each of you tonight. This is one of my favorite services of the year, and we're glad that you have joined us tonight. I want to remind you that next Sunday morning we will only have one service like we did this morning. It'll be at 10:30 on Sunday morning. We welcome all of you to join us. As we begin our service tonight, I invite you to center your lives, your hearts, and to be still and to be reminded that God is God, that God has been born to set us free. And the question I bring to each of us tonight is, what do you need to be free from? And that is what we are about tonight. Join me as we pray together. Our Father, after a busy Advent season, it's just good to be still and to be reminded that you are God. I'm thankful today for the hope that we have in you. And I'm reminded of Charles Wesley's words that you were born into our world to set us free. Lord, I have no idea what needs each person brings to your house of worship tonight, but I'm thankful that we all share the hope in Christ and that your grace is sufficient for us as we live our lives by faith. So we come tonight to give you thanks, to be reminded of the miracle and the mystery of the Advent and incarnation of Jesus Christ into our world. We worship you and we give you thanks. I pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the very Spirit, the breath of the living God. Amen. Thank you.
From the Old Testament, Isaiah 9, 2, 6, and 7. The birth of Christ and kingdom are foretold by Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Our second reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her.
Our third reading tonight is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augusta issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Oh, the fourth lesson from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Our fifth reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 20.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Well, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Shining, it is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill
Our sixth reading tonight is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, He was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped. It stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
The seventh reading, John 1, 1 through 5, and 9 through 14. John unfolds the great mystery of the incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did not receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human dissension, or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Season, we have been marking our journey week after week in the Advent candles, through the Advent candles, lighting them one after another. Hope, peace, joy, love. Tonight we'll light the center candle, the Christ candle, marking our way through this journey together, setting the stage, if you will, for the year before us, praying that these same markings also will mark out our year and all of our years. Let me suggest another word for us today, a word that will be familiar to us. And it may not have its own candle around the wreath, but it will resonate. That word is chaos. 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 When we begin to look around us, we see evidence of it all around. You only have to look as far as my office, but that's a few miles from here. I've peeked into the offices of some of the ministers, David Warren being one of them. Chaos can mark the space. Go look at my garage. It's a place of chaos. My shopping, I do my best work at the very last days of Christmas, where I can feel the chaotic energy of others and just join right in the midst of it. And let's be honest, we kind of like a little chaos in our lives. There's something energetic about it. There's something exciting and thrilling, and well, it makes us feel a little bit more alive when we can enter into the flow of chaos. Even scientists and mathematicians have gotten into this chaos by conceptualizing a theory called chaos theory. No surprise there. The study of fractals and how in seemingly random patterns they can form out great order and even beauty. We're all familiar with the butterfly effect, this notion that the mere movement of a butterfly's wing can create great change on the other side of a globe, all in terms of a theory. But let's also be honest, however we feel about chaos, there's something pleasant about gathering at a service like this. And whether you've completed your shopping or not, it doesn't matter anymore. Whether you've cooked that last dish or worrying if there'll be enough to go around tomorrow, it really doesn't matter anymore. There's something good and welcoming and even hospitable to just sit in the pew and breathe a sigh and find your collective order all over again. Deep within us all is this longing to find order. That's why when we open the book of the Bible and begin with Genesis, in the very first words, it begins, "In the beginning, God spoke." And suddenly what was chaos and randomness was brought together in universal order, and the cosmos began to hum in seemingly patternless and yet patternful ways. And did you catch how John's gospel begins the birth story? Not with shepherds or angels or mangers, but John's gospel echoes the very beginning of Genesis. In the beginning. In the beginning, God spoke and a world was created. In John's gospel, in the beginning was the Word. And the birth story begins not in a manger, but at the very beginning of all time. Yes, chaos is part of our created order, but chaos alone will not do in God's own design. But rather, in the beginning was a Word that brought all things together. May for each of us in this service, we feel, experience, and hear God's word spoken deeply in the being of each one of us, in all of our chaos, the kind of chaos we embrace, but also the kind of chaos that finds us, seeking to disrupt us. May we lean into this Christmas Eve service and dare to hear God speak again, those words that started creation a twirl and the words that remind us of Christ's birth in the beginning. And we are to bear witness to those words. As Robert read the Gospels this evening, we heard the words that in the beginning was the Word, and how the darkness cannot comprehend it, and that the Word came to dwell among us. Now that's a really good word, meaning God joins with us in all of our chaos. And as we move forward, and there's an echo of Hebrew in there, God tabernacles with us. That is, God pitches a tent alongside our journey, that wherever we go, God goes with us. That even when our steps take us in chaotic directions, God is coming to speak a word of order to us and to remind us that in the beginning and the end and everything else in between, God has this for us and will see us through. Maybe that's why we break bread and share the cup at a Christmas Eve service. We remind ourselves that in the breaking of bread and the breaking of the body of Christ, that we're also finding order for us, that we participate and God participates with us. And then in the sharing of this bread and sharing of this cup, we're also participating together that we might find order as a community of faith. How can we not help but lean into the poetry of the Gospels and remind ourselves that in the beginning, God was and is and evermore shall be. And in all of our endings, they inevitably lead to God's generative new beginnings. And so we come to the table of Christ, mindful of the gospel's teaching that on the night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he shared it among his disciples. He took the cup and he shared it, this among his disciples. This time I want to invite our leaders to come and take their places around the tables. And here as we go through this important part of the service, I remind you that if you are of the body of Christ, whether of this church or a community of faith elsewhere, that all of this is for all of you. Hear with me now the promises of Scripture. On the night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he shared it among his disciples and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, and it is broken for you." We also read that he shared the cup of Christ. And he said, "Take and drink of it, for this is the blood of the new covenant shed for the forgiveness of many." Let us pray together. In the breaking of bread and in the sharing of this cup, O God, we now come to your table set for each of us, and we participate that the word you spoke in our lives would also be a word echoed from our lips and in our actions. For there's a world waiting to hear what we have to say about today's chaos. Speak to us, O God, through bread, through cup, through Holy Communion. In the love and in the name of God Almighty, Christ our Savior, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. This time you're invited to come forth to the table. Please join us as you come through the interior aisles. When you participate at your corresponding tables, take your exit to the exteriors. Please join us.
On the first Sunday of Advent, we lit the candle of hope. We were reminded that in our need, we have something to hope for. That God looks on us and comes to rescue us, comes to save us. On the second Sunday, we lit the candle of peace, reminding us, though, that the world is at war, though we are at war within ourselves. Wherever there is strife, wherever there is conflict, God came into the world to bring peace. On the third Sunday of Advent, we lit the candle of joy. We celebrated all that God has done and the joy that God brings into the world and into our own lives. And then on the fourth Sunday, this morning, we lit the candle of love. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. These four candles all point to the center candle, the Christ candle. They all point to Jesus, who said, "I am the light of the world." Jesus came into the world to bring light. He came into the world to eradicate darkness wherever it can be found. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But he also said, "You are the light of the world." We who have experienced the light of Christ are not meant to keep it to ourselves. And so this flame on the Christ candle will not stay just there, but it will spread throughout this room. In just a moment, each of us we'll get to have our candles lit as we sing Silent Night, reminding ourselves that God is with us here and now, that God brings his light into the world, into each of us, so that, just as we heard the shepherds do earlier, we may go and then take that good news and take that light out into a world that is badly broken and so badly in need of God's redemption. In just a moment, I will light my candle. I will give it to some of the other ministers down front. We will all stand and sing Silent Night as we spread God's love throughout this room.
Now may the light of Christ be before you, guiding your footsteps. May the light of Christ be above you, inspiring your thoughts. May the light of Christ be beside you, warming you with comfort and presence. May the light of Christ go behind you, guiding others along the way. Indeed, may the light of Christ dwell within you now and forevermore till we gather again in Christ's light. Amen and amen.